Blog Talk Radio.
Defending conservative values and the Constitution of the United States. You're about to be on the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, welcome back to the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the New Colony Network. Glad to have you with us here on April 28th, year 2015. We're going to be talking about the Loretta Lynch confirmation as the 83rd U.S. Attorney General. And in this last hour, we're going to be covering Articles 6 and 7, the last two articles of the Constitution of the United States. And once again, I want to welcome you to everybody that's going to join the show, whether you join it live in the chat room or you listen to it on download. We very much appreciate you listening to the show and listening to the message. We're going to be talking about Loretta Lynch, and she just recently became confirmed by the Senate of the United States as the 83rd Attorney General of the United States. And needless to say, there's a lot of conservatives, there's a lot of Republicans that are really pissed off with the GOP majorities in both the House and, in this case, specifically the Senate, for going ahead and confirming her. Now, she was confirmed by a 56-43 vote. But before I go any further, I want to correct something I did on my last show when I was talking about the number of states that currently allow gay marriage. I was wrong. I was working on some outdated information there. I discovered it, so I said I better give the updated information. Currently, there are 37 states in Washington, D.C., that allow gay marriage. So the overwhelming majority of the country allows gay marriage. But right now, that argument is up in front of the Supreme Court of the United States right now. And there's a lot of speculation as to which way the Supreme Court is going to go based on some of the questions that the justice has asked. There's a lot of people that feel the prevailing feeling is that the court is going to uphold gay marriage, and that does violate equal protection under the law for states to ban gay marriage. But we're going to see what's going to happen, because sometimes the questions that the justices ask to the Solicitor General and those presenting their case to the Supreme Court, sometimes their decisions are opposite of the tone of the questions which they asked. I mean, look at the Obamacare. Everybody just thought for sure that the Supreme Court was going to strike it down, and it should have been struck down. But Justice Roberts, the Chief Justice, sided with the liberals, and he just basically rewrote the law himself and called it a tax, even though the Solicitor General argued that it was not a tax. But anyway, so just wanted to update that information there, because we're not like liberal talk shows. If we make a mistake here, we correct it. We own up to it. So my information was incorrect, but the correct thing is that there are 37 states that currently allow gay marriage. So now we're going to move on. On my shows, I've said many times that it's very important that people vet political candidates. Now, when you vet a political candidate, that means that you look into their background. Who are they? Where did they go to school? Who did they hang out with? Where did they go to school? What kind of grades did they get? What is their political views? All of these things. Who did they hang out with? Did they get in any trouble? Where did they grow up? Who did they grow up with? All kinds of questions have to be asked and answered in a vetting process, especially a candidate for president of the United States. It is crucial. Now, had Barack Obama been properly vetted by the news media, he very well may not have even gotten the Democrat nomination, much less become the president. But, however, having said that, we're talking about Loretta Lynch tonight. And she's quite an interesting woman, and in my opinion, she's an attractive woman. The only other female attorney general we had was Janet Reno, and Loretta Lynch is by far much better looking than she is. I'm sure everybody will agree, regardless of your political party. But anyway, in the vetting process, as I've said, that you have to look into their background. So I did my elementary, you know, my primary search on Loretta Lynch. And if I can do this, anybody can do this. I'm just your plain average blue-collar working guy that knows how to dig for information. And so we're going to be getting into a little bit of her history and her background, because I know there's a lot of people, they're too busy, they're too wrapped up in their lifestyle to try to properly vet a candidate, or in this case, this is a nominee. This was a nominee by President Obama to replace Eric Holder, who was probably the worst attorney general in the history of the United States as far as his attitude and his viewpoint. He obviously, for sure, was the most political. And this was an attorney general, Eric Holder, that was held in contempt of Congress. But as we, as I said earlier, we're going to be talking about Loretta Lynch. So let's get into it. Let's talk about Loretta Lynch, who she is. Loretta Elizabeth Lynch. She was born on May 21st, 1959, and she is currently the 83rd Attorney General of these here United States of America. And she, her background is, well, let's see, her early life. Well, let's see, she was born May 21st, 1959 in Greensboro, North Carolina. I've been there. It's a nice town. And her mother was a school librarian. Her father was a Baptist minister. There's nothing wrong with that. That's par for the course for the South. And as a child, she spent a lot of time with her dad watching court proceedings in the courthouse there in Durham, North Carolina. She had an early interest in court proceedings, and that was compounded by stories of her grandfather, who was a sharecropper and also a minister, a pastor, in the 1930s, and he helped people, you know, move to the North to escape the, you know, the horrible Jim Crow laws in the South. And that's something that I believe all Americans can agree on, that the Jim Crow laws were just absolutely inhumane. And black spot on our history, if you ask me. She earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in English and American Literature from Harvard College in 1981, and her Juris Doctor from Harvard Law School in 1984. So she's in my age group. And she was a member of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority and a charting member of the Xi Tau chapter of the sorority while at Harvard. So, you know, she had a pretty humble background as far as the attorney general is concerned. Now, her early career, her first legal job was as an associate with a firm called Cahill, Gordon, and Rindell. She joined the Eastern District of the U.S. Attorney's Office as a drug and violent crime prosecutor in 1990, and from 94 to 98, she served as the chief of the Long Island office and worked on several political corruption cases involving the government of Brookhaven, New York. From 98 to 99, she was the chief assistant U.S. attorney in the Eastern District and headed up the Brooklyn office. And, you know, she's got a little bit of a background here, but it should be noted that, let's see, in 99, she was nominated by the Sleekmeister, Bill Clinton, to serve as the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York. And during that term as a U.S. attorney, Lynch oversaw the prosecution of New York City police officers in the Abner Louima case. Now, if you forgot about the Abner Louima case, this was just one of the most horrible cases of police brutality there was. This was a immigrant man that a police officer sodomized him with, I believe it was a broom handle. It was conduct unbecoming a police officer. It was a black spot on the New York Police Department. It was just a black spot on America. I mean, you know, for somebody to be treated like this, I mean, even if, you know, it's just horrible. I won't even go into it because it's so vile. And to take somebody's humanity like that, it's unbelievable. Now, I don't want you liberals out there to get all giddy and smiley that, you know, that I happen to be agreeing that these police officers should have been prosecuted. Trust me, liberals, the reason why I'm glad they were prosecuted is not the same reason that you are, because, you know, all you do is you want people to be prosecuted simply because you don't like them, not necessarily because they did something wrong. I'm glad they were prosecuted because what they did was so wrong. It deserved prosecution and incarceration. Let's see, then in 2001, she left the attorney, U.S. Attorney's Office to become a partner at a firm called Hogan and Hartson, later called Hogan Lovells. And she remained there until the 20th of January 2010 when President Obama nominated Lynch to serve again as the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. And from 03 to 05, she was a member of the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, folks. Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And for all the younger listeners out there, if you don't know what that is that, you know, there's Federal Reserve Banks all around the United States, and they're in big cities, Philadelphia, New York, San Francisco, Dallas, Denver. They're in big cities, Atlanta. And you'll see on a dollar bill or in our currency, you'll see a little round emblem there, and it's got a letter in it. Well, every Federal Reserve Bank has got a different letter designato. So that's what, you know, when we're talking about Federal Reserve Banks, that she have to be on the member of the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of the state of New York. Okay, now, we all remember the Eric Garner case that happened in New York in 2014 in July. This was the black man that was, basically he was choked to death by the New York Police Department for selling loose cigarettes. I believe it was on Staten Island. And following the 2014 death of Eric Garner, an unarmed man who died after being held in a department-prohibited chokehold by the NYPD, Lynch agreed to meet with Garner's family to discuss possible federal prosecution of the officer believed to be responsible for his death. Now, when they talk about federal prosecution, we're talking about civil rights violation. But the bar for proving a civil rights violation, they had to prove that the officers intended to deny him his civil rights for whatever reason, whether it was his race, his religion, his creed, for whatever reason. Now, there are some notable things that Loretta Lynch did in case, like I said, you have to vet people. You have to dig in. You have to look into it. You have to take the time, just a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes of your time, to find out about people whose position, critical, or very influential to the country, to every man, woman, and man, woman, and child in the country. And what could be more influential other than being a president or senator is the chief law enforcement officer of the country. That's what the attorney general is. He or she runs the Justice Department, i.e., the attorney general's office, the FBI. Is this starting to sink in now, folks? Lynch's office prosecuted Republican Congressman Michael Graham. She also prosecuted Democrat politicians Pedro Espada Jr. and William Boylan Jr., investigated the Citigroup over mortgage securities sold by the bank, resulting in $7 billion settlement, and was involved in the U.S. $1.2 billion settlement with HSBC over violations of Bank Secrecy Act. Now, in November of 2014, President Obama nominated her to replace Eric Holder as Attorney General of the United States, and who, you know, had announced his resignation pending confirmation of his replacement. She was confirmed by the Senate Judiciary Committee on February 26, 2015, and approved by the Senate in a 56-43 vote just this April 23rd, thereby becoming the first African-American woman, the second African-American after Holder, and the second woman after Janet Reno to hold his office. So it was historic. It was the second woman and the second African-American to hold this post. Now, as I said earlier in the show, and it should be noted that this 56-43, that's 99 because Ted Cruz didn't vote. Senator Cruz didn't vote at all. As it turns out, even if he voted against her, it wouldn't have mattered. She still would have been confirmed. But this was a very low number for somebody to be confirmed as Attorney General. So it wasn't that, you know, it was just a cakewalk for her. What happened was is that they took the preliminary votes, then they voted for cloture in the Senate. When they vote for cloture, that means they cut off all the discussion and go to the vote. That's what when they invoke cloture. See, there's a lot of terms that you'll learn about when you study the U.S. government and when you study the U.S. Constitution and you study the means and ways that the government works in Washington, D.C., and in state legislatures around the United States. So eight Republicans of the Senate Judiciary Committee, including the chairman, Chuck Grassley, had opposed Lynch's confirmation after what Democrats criticized as a long delay. And, of course, if you oppose Obama or any one of his nominees for any reason, you're going to be labeled a racist and a bigot. So, you know, that's old news. And Grassley defended the delays in holding the vote, saying, you know, that it was important to gather more information on Lynch's role in settling that $1.9 billion money laundering deal with HBC, where she served as the U.S. attorney in New York. And Republican Senator David Vitter criticized recent submissions by Lynch that she had failed to find out about separate documents revealing HSBC's, excuse me, folks, HSBC's roles in helping clients hide money offshore before agreeing not to prosecute the bank. Now, when people hide money offshore, that means they're hiding it from the government for the purposes of taxation. And there was a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a discrepancy here by Senator Vitter, you know, by her admissions by Lynch that she had failed to find out about separate documents. In other words, she admitted that she really didn't dig into it as deep as she should have. Then, April 23rd this year, cloture was invoked on her nomination by a vote of 66 to 34. And as I just said, cloture is where in the Senate chamber they vote to stop the discussion and go to the up or down, yay or nay vote. It's either yay or nay, yay being yes, nay being no. And those, if you, in case that sounds like old English and proper English, you're correct. That's, you know, a holdover from the old English system. And her appointment was confirmed on the same day by a 56 to 43 vote, and the only senator that didn't vote was Ted Cruz of Texas. And her nomination process was one of the longest in history. It took 166 days, a little over 5 months, and she was, you know, since she was first nominated. And she's married to a real nice man by the name of Stephen Hargrove. They were married in 2007, although she still uses her maiden name. Well, her married name is Loretta Lynch Hargrove, but she uses her maiden name professionally. So there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people do that, so there's nothing abnormal about that. But there are some things about Loretta Lynch that are somewhat controversial. And specifically is her outspoken opposition to voter ID laws. Now, this is a sore subject, and it's actually no news to anybody because there are many Democrats that feel that any attempt to have voter ID laws are racist and bigoted on their face, that voter ID laws disproportionately affect minorities. Now, they still haven't explained to me how a voter ID law disenfranchises Latinos or blacks or any other minority group, because no one's asking them to have a driver's license. They just want them to have a state-issued ID. And I just don't understand how they say that a voter identification law, which is a good thing because it will protect everybody's vote that is eligible to vote. Now, you can just imagine if you were an 80-year-old minority person in the South and somebody got your information and went down and voted saying that they were you, and then you managed to get yourself down to the polling place and you want to vote, and they say you can't do it, you've already voted, and you say, what do you mean I've already voted? I haven't voted, I just got here. See, now the critics of voter ID laws are going to say that the instances of voter fraud are so low and so insignificant that it would pose no significant effect on a election. Well, I beg to differ. Whether it's one vote that was cast fraudulently or whether it was 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000, the point is the only people that are supposed to vote are American citizens, specifically a citizen next to a name, next to a voter ID number, on a voter ID roll. No one should be able to go up there and pretend they're you and use your vote to cast a vote for their political agenda, which may be in exact opposition of yours. The Democrats and liberals are going to have to explain to me in detail how voter ID laws intentionally disenfranchise minority people. I just don't understand it, especially when there are states that have programs for free to help them get a state-issued ID and to help them and assist them with filling out the paper, the form, to get that ID. So the liberals and Democrats are really, I would invite any one of them to call up my show and explain to me how voter ID laws intentionally disenfranchise minorities. However, as it regards to Loretta Lynch, she has been outspoken on more than one occasion. Most recently in Long Beach, California, when she was down here, that voter ID laws on their face are racist and bigoted. So now what we actually have here is Eric Holder in a skirt or Eric Holder in a pantsuit. Now, as such, when she was confirmed by the Senate, needless to say, a lot of people on the right, the conservatives and Republicans, were fit to be tied because the Democrats had their butts handed to them in 2010 in midterm elections. Then they had their butt handed to them again in 2014 midterm elections, where not only did they not get the House back, the Republicans actually gained more seats in the House, and the Democrats lost the Senate. And it's generally accepted that all the Republicans were voted in to do one thing, to stop Barack Obama dead in his tracks. Well, things don't work that simple, folks. Now, I am disappointed that they confirmed her, because she is nothing more than Eric Holder with a skirt on or Eric Holder with a pantsuit on. Other than that, I really don't see any much difference in the ideology between Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, except to say that they know that Loretta Lynch does give a lot of deference to law enforcement, because in her position as U.S. District Attorney for Eastern New York, she had to work very closely with police, law enforcement from New York and from the East Coast and the New England states and so on and so forth. And now, at least this is what they say. There are a lot of people in law enforcement that are glad that Loretta Lynch is the attorney general. And then again, there are a lot of people that are glad, that are really opposed to her being the attorney general, because she does have a political agenda. I'll say it again. This is Eric Holder in a skirt or Eric Holder in a pantsuit. Other than that, there's not a dime's difference between her and Eric Holder, except she's better looking than Eric Holder. How about that? So it should be noted now that her opposition to voter ID laws gives you a pretty good idea of where she is politically. And now in the questions for her, in the Senate, in her confirmation hearings, one of the big sticking points against Loretta Lynch with the conservatives was when she was asked about the president's executive order on this amnesty, this immigration hold, these 5 million people that they would defer deportation on. They asked her if she believed, in her legal opinion, not her personal opinion, her legal opinion, was the president's actions constitutional and legal? She said, yes, she believes they were. Well, that did not sit well with conservatives. In fact, I think most of the country is against what the president did. Now, at present, that executive order, that move to defer the deportations of these 5 million presumably new Democrat voters, is on hold because of a federal court judge ruling. That's going to have to go to the Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans, and it's probably going to land up at the Supreme Court. But the truth is that it's probably not going to get there before Barack Obama has to leave office. So I believe that they have effectively blocked him on this. But she believed that his executive order on this was constitutional and legal. Well, if that's the way she truly feels, and there's no reason to doubt what she said, because anybody that's going to be nominated by Barack Obama is obviously going to be someone who is going to toe his ideological and party line on specific issues. So whether it was Loretta Lynch or anybody else, you knew that they were going to answer that question that way. So some of the outrage on the right in the Republican Party and in the conservatives, even the Tea Party movement. I understand their outrage. I was pissed off about it too, but you've got to look into this a little bit deeper as to why Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, why they went on ahead and voted her in and confirmed her. Because the truth be known is that no matter who Obama nominates, there are going to be people that are going to agree with him ideologically. Write down that communist, socialist, Saul Alinsky, James Marshall Davis line. So whether it was Loretta Lynch or Joe Blow or John Jones or Bob Smith or whoever the hell it is that he nominated, you knew that this answers were going to come out this way. Now, she was held up for over 5 months, one of the longest periods for confirming an attorney general in the history of the United States. Now, there's a couple of reasons why, the prevailing reasons why they think the Republicans went on ahead and did this. And one of them is that we have bigger fish to fry. Because it's not going to matter who Barack Obama nominates for attorney general, because they're obviously going to be somebody that's going to give the answers that he wants to hear. He is not going to nominate somebody that is going to stand up in front of the Senate and say that they believe that his executive orders are illegal and unconstitutional, because if they said that, then they would have the expressed duty, even implied, that they would have to advise the president that his actions are unconstitutional and illegal and are subject to prosecution and may or may not be grounds for impeachment. So obviously Barack Obama is not going to nominate somebody that's going to stand up in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and say things like that. So now to all the conservatives out there that are up in arms about this, you got to take the, how should I say this? You have to take the smarter road on this. You have to see this through clear lenses. Get out your rag and your Windex and wipe off the lens on your telescope there, because it was a little bit cloudy. You're distracted by little blurts and blobs on your lens. Clean it off so you can see the situation clearly. He's got less than 2 years left in office. Now you wonder, well, what you say to yourself, well, she can do a lot of damage in 2 years. Well, it's not that easy. All right, it's not that easy. Because I believe Ms. Lynch now, she knows that she's dealing with a completely Republican-controlled Congress. And she is going to be under the microscope the entire time that she's in there. I really can't see Loretta Lynch trying to do something too radical at this point. She just got in. Her viewpoint is right down Barack Obama's party line. We know that, but I'm going to say it again. We know that whoever he would have nominated, we're going to answer those questions the same way. This was just being dragged on and on and on and on. Now, I will note, I will say this, and it's noteworthy to say, you saw how petulant and immature the president got when he was posed with this question. He's going like, enough, this is embarrassing, this is embarrassing. Confirm her, for God's sake. Go ahead and confirm it. You saw the immaturity and petulance of the President of the United States concerning this matter. So I'll leave it at that concerning his response to it, because we all know how the president feels about these things. He does not like being told no. He's like that spoiled little brat. You tell him no, he starts pounding the floor, kicking the floor, then holding his breath till he turns blue. And then out comes the race card, the bigot card, the unfair card, the uncaring card, blah, 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 yada, 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 yada. Now, Ms. Lynch, as far as her, how shall we say, her appearance that she's friendly to law enforcement, as I said, there are a lot of people in law enforcement that are for Ms. Lynch, because they believe that she is basically pro-law enforcement in her views. But that was before she became the attorney general now. Yes, she was a deputy U.S. attorney general for Eastern District, New York. That is a very, very important position. New York is one of the major World Series cities. But now she is the Attorney General of the United States. She is the chief law enforcement officer of the country. Now she has tremendous power and authority because now she runs the Justice Department completely. She runs the FBI. So now her true colors are going to shine. The question is Ms. Lynch going to temper her personal views against the office that she has now, a cabinet member office? This is a high-level cabinet member position. Very high. Is she going to temper her personal views against what she is constitutionally mandated to do? And that is to uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States of America without passion or prejudice, even if the person that's being investigated happens to be the President of the United States. Now, she better be glad that I was not sitting in that Senate chamber and asking her questions, because I would have really put some serious questions to her concerning Article 3 of the Constitution, where treason is delineated. And I would have asked her point blank, in your opinion, has the president teetered dangerously with the textbook definition of treason? Because in my opinion, he has committed treason. But I would have wanted to see her reaction and how she answered that. And I want to say hello to one of my guests there in the chat room. I always like to say hello to my guests. He's there. And, you know, so they give them numbers there, and numbers are so impersonal. So, hello there, 6752. Welcome to the show. Type in your first name, so instead of calling you 6752, because numbers are so impersonal, just type in your first name and say hello. You know, that's all you have to do, whether it's Bob, Joe, or whatever. You know, just type in your first name, because I hate talking to numbers there. It's so impersonal. But anyway, glad to have you on the show there. Glad you're listening to the message. By the way, folks, this is the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the New Colony Network. I'm on every Tuesday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. That would be 6 to 8 on the West Coast where I am now. By the way, I am in the city of Los Angeles, and I'm doing this because I feel it's my duty and it's my privilege to be able to come on Internet radio and talk to my fellow citizens about the things that really matter. And tonight we just happen to be talking about our brand newest Attorney General, Miss Loretta Elizabeth Lynch of Greensboro, North Carolina. And as I said, I've been to Greensboro before. It's a nice town. In fact, the whole state of North Carolina is nice. I mean, I can't find any way to say anything bad about it. Well, by the way, she was sworn in on April 27th by Vice President Joe. Why don't you go buy a shotgun, Biden? Crazy Joe Biden, that stupid idiot vice president that we have. Anyway, folks, so, you know, we've did the little vetting, the basic elementary vetting background of Loretta Lynch and some of the things that she's been involved in and her viewpoints on a number of issues. Now, concerning what's going on in Baltimore, and I think we've all seen this on the news about the rioting and the utter chaos that's happening in Baltimore, one of the great American cities. And now that she's the Attorney General of the United States, this is going to fall in her lap should there be an investigation into the death of Mr. Gray. This was the young man that one morning about 8:30, he made eye contact with two police officers on bicycle. He ran. They chased him down. Now, it turns out that Mr. Gray had a rap sheet as long as your arm, multiple convictions for drugs dealing and selling. And why he chose to run from the police, if he didn't do anything wrong, I have no idea. But what turns out is that he was arrested, put in a police van, and it turns out that his voice box was crushed and his two vertebrae in his neck were separated 80%, which severed his spinal cord, and he eventually died. And they just recently buried Mr. Gray. And as a result of his death, the people are claiming that they're doing this for him But the truth is that they're rioting in Baltimore because these are nothing but thugs. But now the bigger issue is in Baltimore is that now you have this unholy alliance between gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, the Black Guerrilla Family, and now our favorite guy, Calypso Louis Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam have joined into this, and they have threatened to target law enforcement all across the United States to get revenge for Mr. Gray. Now, I can only imagine how Mr. Gray's family feels, having lost a son, but I can only imagine how they feel when they see this unjustified violence going on supposedly in his name. But the truth is that these are nothing but opportunists and thugs that are going out there and using this and this tragic death of this young man as an excuse to destroy property, to rob, to loot, to defy civil authority. And I would like to know from Ms. Lynch, our new attorney general, if the mayor of the city of Baltimore has any criminal culpability here, because this is a mayor that actually got on TV and stuff and said, we need to give the rioters room to destroy things, instead of ordering her police force in to stop this. Her name is Blake, Ms. Blake, Rawlings Blake. I'm trying to remember her first name. She happens to be an African-American woman, and it should be noted that the entire city government of Baltimore is primarily minority. The majority of the police officers in Baltimore happen to be from so-called minority groups, and there hasn't been a Republican presence in Baltimore local city government since like the 1930s. So whatever problems they have in Baltimore concerning anger and suppression, I got news for them. Do not look at the GOP. Look straight at the Democrat Party. The party that they say that says it's looking out for you, this is the party that has created a permanent social underclass, especially in Baltimore. And now this mayor, excuse me, folks, now this mayor is trying to backpedal. Now she's trying to backtrack now, saying that you're twisting my words. Well, no, Madam Mayor, you said it, and there are numerous news agencies that have your voice saying that you need to back up and give them room to riot instead of performing the duty that you are honor bound to do, which is to restore order in your city. Now, as this relates to Loretta Lynch, now this is going to fall directly into her lap. Now, I have to be honest with you. I would like to know how a young man who, despite his long criminal record, seemingly healthy, was arrested, goes into a police van, then comes out with a severed spine and a crushed voice box. Baltimore PD, you've got a lot of questions to answer. I personally, as a conservative, am appalled at the thought that you actually severed this guy's spine and crushed his voice box. I don't think a person could fall down hard enough to do that to themselves. So in my honest opinion, yes, there should be a federal investigation of the officers that had him in custody. I would like to know how a simple arrest turned into a guy with a severed spine and a crushed voice box. I really would like to know this. And let me say it again to the liberals out there. Don't think that I'm agreeing with you, because my reasons for wanting these officers investigated are completely different from yours. You want them investigated because you simply hate them. You hate everything about the government. You hate everything about the police. I want them investigated because it sure appears to me now that something happened inside of that police van. Now, we all have the presumption of innocence, something that the President of the United States completely forgot about, albeit that he's supposed to be a constitutional law professor. He's supposed to know the Constitution backwards and forwards. He got the Camden police thing wrong. He got the Trayvon Martin thing wrong. He got the Ferguson, Missouri thing wrong. And now he's chiming in about this. Well, now he's got this wrong. But I'll say again, I have some serious questions for the Baltimore Police Department as to how this young man, despite being a criminal, I'm not saying he's an altar boy, but I would like to know how this young man comes out of a police van with a severed spine and a crushed voice box. Somebody's going to have to answer for this. Now, as far as Loretta Lynch is concerned, this is going to fall into her lap, because if there was a civil rights violation, this is going to be solely in the hands of the Attorney General of the United States for determination if there's going to be an investigation and if, depending on what they find, if charges are going to be filed for civil rights violations. Because, see, Civil Rights Act, that is a federal issue. That's not a state issue. That's a federal issue. For example, somebody can be tried criminally in a state trial, get acquitted, found not guilty. But that does not necessarily mean that they can't be prosecuted in federal court for civil rights violations. Case in point, Rodney King. Look what happened with the Rodney King thing. Not too long, well, a few years ago, here in Southern California, in a city called Fullerton, which is in Orange County, the Kelly Thomas thing. These two Fullerton cops were acquitted in a state criminal prosecution in Orange County. And it turns out that Eric Holder, the Attorney General, decided not to file civil rights violations. Now, a lot of people feel that the reason why Eric Holder didn't file civil rights charges on these two police officers, by the way, one of the police officers was Latino, the other one was white. The victim in this case happens to be white. Now, there are some people that believe Eric Holder didn't file any case because the victim happened to be white. Further evidence of his hatred and his bigotry. Now, whatever the reason is, he didn't file a civil rights case on him. But as it turns out, the boy's father is going to sue the city of Fullerton civilly, and I believe he's going to win that. By the way, folks, once again, the Signalis Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the New Colony Network, the number is 646-478-3229. My caller from the 310, I've seen you in there for about a half hour. I want to thank you for tuning in to the show. I'm glad you're enjoying it. So we've got Loretta Lynch. She is the 83rd U.S. Attorney General. That is a very, very high cabinet position. She is the second woman to be in that post, and she is also the first African-American woman to be in that post. So her appointment as Attorney General is just as historic as Barack Obama becoming President of the United States. Now, I don't know whether she sees herself that way, but the truth of the matter is that now she has risen up through the ranks, and now she is the chief law enforcement officer of the country. Now, let's see how she wields that authority. Is she going to be just? Because, see, justice is supposed to be colorblind. We will see with Ms. Lynch. So there it is, the basic background on Loretta Elizabeth Lynch from Greensboro, North Carolina. And once again, I'll just give it to you in case anybody missed it. My caller from the 310, you missed this because you came in a little bit after the show started. She was born May 21st, 1959 in Greensboro, North Carolina. She is the daughter of a school librarian and a Baptist minister. Her grandfather was a sharecropper and also a Baptist minister. He was very involved in helping people escape the South into the North in the 30s to help people escaped the horrible Jim Crow laws that were in force in the South. She earned a Bachelor of Arts in English and American Literature from Harvard College in 1981 and a Juris Doctor from Harvard Law School in 1984. And to all the sorority sisters out there, she was a member of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority and a chartering member of the Zeta Tau chapter of the sorority while at Harvard. So there it is, Miss Loretta Elizabeth Lynch, our newest Attorney General. So, folks, we're going to be taking a little break here. This is not going to be a long show tonight because this is pretty much cut and dried here. But before I go to the break, I'm just going to say again, I know that a lot of the conservatives out there are upset that the Senate confirmed her. But they were just dragging out the inevitable because it doesn't matter who Barack Obama nominated for that post. They were going to be somebody that were going to answer the questions the way he wanted them answered and write down his socialist, communist, Alinsky ideology. That's it. It wouldn't have mattered whether it was her, John Jones, Bob Smith, Joe Blow, or whoever the hell else it was. It was a complete waste of time to keep delaying this. She got grilled. She got grilled hard. It's on the record. Anybody that keeps up with politics knows they saw what her answers were. I've just given you the basic background information on Loretta Lynch. You want to know more? You got to get the episodes of C-SPAN and watch the questioning that went on with her in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You see, because the more you get involved, the more you make it your business to find out what your government is doing behind your back and what they're doing in your name, the more informed you're going to be and the more informed decision that you're going to be able to make, especially when it comes to the federal government. So there it is. Now, one reason, is, as I've expanded on, is that it was pointless to keep this going on. The other reason is, well, you know what, I'll tell you about that after I get back from the break. And then after that, we'll go into Article 6 and Article 7 of the Constitution. My caller from 310, once again, I want to thank you for joining in. We're going to take a little break here. And in my continuing effort to really piss off the right, the left-wing kook liberals who hate Christian music, they hate patriotic music, they hate any kind of music that shows America's greatness and America's spirit, and the spirit of which this country was founded. Liberals absolutely hate that. As such, I'm going to play them some music that they're really going to love. This is the Signala Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in about 3 minutes or so, so stay tuned. Oh, yeah. Doesn't that make you want to get out the picnic tables and the sparklers and the fire and the bottle rockets and the firecrackers and the flag and everything? Ain't that wonderful music? The Signalis Show right here on Block Talk Radio on the New Colony Network, and we're back on the air. I said that after the break, I'm going to get into one of the other big reasons why I think the Senate went on ahead and confirmed Loretta Lynch. Well, okay, first I've said that it was completely pointless to keep dragging this out because no matter who Barack Obama nominated, there was going to be somebody that's going to toe his party and ideological lines. The other reason is that the GOP has got bigger fish to fry, and that big fish is Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, if you've watched the news lately, it keeps getting worse and worse for Mrs. Schlickmeister, especially the implications of donations and favors for countries that are our sworn enemies. Iran, the uranium deal. 20% of our uranium stockpile turned over to Russia. And you know that's going to get funneled into Iran. So they can enrich it, turn it into a warhead, put it on a ballistic missile, and fire it at the United States. In my opinion, Mrs. Clinton and her husband, the ex-president, William Jefferson Clinton, are guilty of treason against the United States. That's just my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. But the reason is they went on ahead and got this out of the way. It's because Hillary Clinton would be worse than Barack Obama. The big fish to fry, Hillary Clinton. They needed to get this out of the way. Go ahead and confirm Ms. Lynch. She was questioned heavily. Her answers, she exposed herself with it. We know exactly who she is. We know exactly where she stands on the issues. This is a matter of congressional record now. She can't retract it. She can't redact it. It's on the record. So we know exactly how she's going to perform her duties as Attorney General. But Ms. Lynch also knows that the Congress of the United States has power too. See, we got this thing called checks and balances, separation of powers between the executive branch, the legislative, and judicial. The judicial being the Supreme Court, the executive being the president and his administration, the legislative being the House and the Senate. Co-equal branches of government, checks and balances. So not one branch. But what happened is that when Barack Obama became president, the Democrat-controlled Senate and House basically surrendered their congressional authority to the executive branch because they didn't want to be seen as racist and bigoted. But now here we are today in the situation that we are, given the fact that it didn't matter who Barack Obama nominated to replace Eric Holder, they just went on ahead and got this out of the way. Because now the main objective is to stop Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party from completely pushing this country off the edge of the abyss. Now, some people feel that there are Republicans up there that actually like big government. They just want their chance to wield all of that big government power. That's going to remain to be seen. By the way, that reminds me, I'm going to put in a call to Senator McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. He's from Kentucky. I'm going to be putting a call into his office and asking him, just what the hell are you guys doing? Are you forgetting why you were sent there? But they went on ahead and got this out of the way. Now, I agree, there are bigger fish to fry. How much damage can Loretta Lynch do in the remainder of Barack Obama's presidency? That's going to remain to be seen. So now, folks, we've talked about Loretta Lynch, the reason and reasons why or why not she was confirmed. It turns out the reasons why she was confirmed, that's a matter of speculation. Everybody can just decide for themselves. I only hope that she remembers that she took an oath of office to defend the laws and the Constitution of the United States regardless. And I hope that she performs her duties in a lot more responsible manner than Eric Holder did. That's all I hope. Other than that, from her background, she seems like a nice lady. She came from a humble Christian background. She went to school. She's married. She's an attractive woman, in my opinion. She's very capable. I just hope that she uses her ability to do the right thing. So now, We're going to be talking about the last two articles of the Constitution, and you know, we're going to keep going on with this Constitution series because I'm sure that that these are informative for you. And once again, this is the Constitution from the viewpoint of the average blue-collar working guy. And the way I see the Constitution, getting it down onto the level of the average blue-collar working person, man or woman, regardless of who you are or your background or whatever, this is just, I try to explain this as best I can from the blue-collar man's point of view. Article 6 of the Constitution. And here we go. All debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be valid against the United States under this Constitution as under the Confederation. What that means is that before we had the Constitution, we had something called the Articles of Confederation. What they're saying is that all of the debts that were incurred and engagements entered into before the adoption of the Constitution, once this Constitution was ratified, they were going to assume those debts and engagements even when the Constitution is ratified and does away with the Articles of Confederation. Next clause. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, in other words, pursuance thereof, of the Constitution, and all the treaties made, treaties are deals you make with other countries, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. What that means is that the law in the Constitution trumps all the laws in the states, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. That means that the law of the Constitution, in other words, here it is, folks. How many times have I said this? The Constitution of the United States is the law of the United States, but once again, Barack Obama doesn't like it because most of the Constitution tells him what he can't do. Remember, people have rights. Government has enumerated power granted to them by the people. And that power is revocable by the people. Keep that in mind. Don't think that your vote doesn't count. It does. It really, really does. If you think that one single vote doesn't count, I'm going to give you a little tidbit of history here. Because of one vote, the official language of the United States is English instead of German. Did that raise your eyebrow? Huh? When they were voting way back in the 1700s now, there were a lot of people that felt that the official language of the United States should have been Deutsch. It should have been German. But because of one vote, they stayed with English. You still think your vote doesn't count? Interesting, isn't it? And it says, you know, judges in every state shall be bound thereby. That means that the judges in the states are bound by the Constitution of the United States of America. Next phrase. The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several states, and don't let that several state thing once again fool you. There were only 13 of them then. There's 50 of them now. Of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, executives mean elected officials, judicials mean judges, both of the United States and of the several states shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. That means those elected officials in the states and those judges are honor bound or to be by oath or affirmation. Now, oath is where you put your hand in the Bible, you take the oath. Affirmation is for people like atheists. They affirm to support this Constitution. In other words, they have to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under these United States. That means that you did not have to be of a set religious background or denomination or certain faith to hold office in the United States. And that is primarily because the people that came to this country were coming here to escape religious persecution under England and the Church of England. Remember that. Go back in your history. The people that we formed a new country and a constitution, and we did not want the people, well, they, the founding fathers, did not want the people to be subject to the religious persecution of England, named King George III. So that's interesting. Now, did that lift your eyebrow there? That no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under these United States, under the United States. That's pretty self-explanatory. Do you see the wisdom of our founding fathers here, folks? Are you, is it sinking into you now? That's Article 6. Now, Article 7 could not be any shorter or any more concise. It's one clause. Article 7. The ratifications of the conventions of nine states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this constitution between the states so ratifying the same. That means that nine out of the 13 ratifying the constitution will constitute the constitution being ratified as applied to all 13 states. Nine is about a little over a two-thirds majority, and that figure should be very familiar to you because a two-thirds majority, which is a supermajority, is what's necessary to, let's see, how shall we say this, to ratify an amendment, to impeach and remove a president in the Senate, two-thirds. So, there it is. The last two articles of the Constitution of the United States, Article 6 and Article 7. So, folks, I'm glad you tuned in to this shortened show of this acknowledged show tonight. It's going to go just a little over an hour. We were scheduled for two, but we really didn't need 2 hours because these subjects were pretty much cut and dried. Just wanted to hit on them with people and get them to thinking. So now, and next week, depending on what topics come up, we'll be talking about another subject, or I may just start going into the amendments of the Constitution, the first 10, better known as the Bill of Rights. And that First Amendment, it's a doozy, and it has a direct bearing, as do these articles. It has a direct bearing of what's going on in the country today. So you got a little homework to refresh yourself on, the First Amendment of the Constitution. But we'll see what comes up here in the next week or so. And because if something more important comes up that we need to talk about, well, that's exactly what we want to do. My caller from the 310, I want to thank you for calling in this week. And anybody that listens to this show on download, I thank you for listening. And be sure to tell your friends and family about the show. I'm on every Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. That would be 9 to 11 on the East Coast. So until next week, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And remember, God bless you and God bless America. We'll see you next week.